Now, this time of the year, as my family does what they normally do, is we usually meet in the evening as we eat dinner, and then we'll sit down or watch TV as we study or play some games or do some chores. The TV will be going. And this time of the year kind of seems to be a frustrating trend. If you watch TV at all, you've probably noticed this trend, that all the commercials, especially for the new movies and TV shows coming out, are very dark, very demonic, if you want to speak biblically. They're about satanic possession, death, darkness, killing, witchcraft, all those that are seen as entertainment or funny. And we know that this time of the year is a celebration of darkness. And so there's a writing on the back of the bulletin that you're welcome to take a look at. Challenge you when you get home to look at that. Not now. Put it down. No. But you'll notice this time of the year, the decorations, the costumes, the movies carry the theme of darkness. You know, death, killing, skeletons, corpses, fear, blood, zombies, Satan, demons, and you could probably keep on, right? And that seems to be the theme right now. Last year we looked at a series titled Powers of Darkness. And I was encouraged how really many took to that and appreciated that. And we focus on how Satan slowly sneaks into our lives and destroys the work of God. This year we're going to focus for 3 weeks on a series called The Light. The light. Focusing on who we follow, who we love, and who we place faith in, and what he's called us to. See, I'm not trying to be a killjoy and ruin your fun if you love this time of the season. That's not at all what this series is about. But if you're a believer and have placed Jesus Christ as your Savior, place your faith in him, 1 Peter 2:9 tells us that we were called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Believer, you and I are called out of death, out of darkness, out of the demonic influence. And so even in the midst of your fun this season, as we're going to do trunk or treat, and we're going to have fun with them, I hope that we will remember who called us, Jesus Christ, who is the light. That we'll remember where he placed us in his marvelous light. And remember who he has made us, the light of this world. And so over the next 3 weeks, we'll be looking at that. So I challenge you, make sure you're here, that you're faithful, and that you understand this is not me speaking, but that we're looking at God's word and what he speaks. So let's start this series speaking on the light. And through Scripture, Jesus has made himself known. You know, you and I do this. We get to know people, and we share who we are and find out details of each other. And honestly, I hate it when people ask the question, so what do you do for a living? I hate that question. And I avoid answering it. Sometimes I'll hem-haw around, not because I'm ashamed of being a pastor, but because as soon as you share that you're a pastor, everything changes. Even on vacation, visiting a church after the service and we're meeting some people, I avoided that for a long time. We were there probably 45 minutes after service meeting people. And finally, somehow they got it, I think, out of Josiah. I can't remember who broke the secret that I was a pastor. Because you just slip through questions and stuff. And then the answer was, oh, that was awfully hard to get. And here's why. Because as soon as people hear you're a pastor, everything changes. That person changes. All talk has to be spiritualized. And there's no spiritual talk about football, okay? That's just, you know, it goes from football to, oh, yeah, I read the Bible once, you know. It goes from, hey, bro, to my brother. Right? The language changes, and they feel like they got to keep saying, pardon my language. No, be you. I'm not God. If you can do it in front of God, don't worry about me. I ain't nobody. Okay? And that's the thing. But sometimes we just get to know each other. We talk. We introduce ourselves. Some of us only give the needed information. Some of us give everything. Amen? Jesus introduces himself through Scripture and gives what we need to know. And in John, he's known for seven specific descriptions of himself. Don't worry, we're not looking at all seven today. But seven times in the book of John, he says, I am. In chapter 6, he says, I am the bread of life. In chapter 10, he says, I am the door. Also in chapter 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. In chapter 11, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Chapter 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Chapter 15, he says, I am divine. See, each of these statements teach specific lessons. They benefit the hearer and sometimes just allows us to know him better and deeper, more intimately, if you will. So in this series, I want to focus on Jesus being the light in John chapter 8. And I trust you in John chapter 8 now. With the first sermon title would be Light is Life. In John chapter 8, go down to verse 12, and we're going to read a total of one verse today to start out. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, Then spake Jesus again unto them and said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us, for being right here with us. We thank you for your word that introduces you to us, allows us to know you more deeply, to grow intimately with you. And Lord, I ask that through this series, through the preaching of your word, that each one of us in here would be drawn closer to you, have a desire to reflect you and walk closer to you. Lord, if there's someone in this room that's never called upon you for salvation, this can be that day. That they understand their need to be saved. We love you, Lord. I thank you for being right here with us. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, this is a verse that you've probably heard before, if not just a part of it, on a regular basis. But as we speak of light, let's realize there's two types of light. First off, when we're born, we see the physical light. And this light lights up God's beautiful creation. We can sure appreciate things because there is light. We love to see the sunshine, the light that it provides, the rainbows that God created, the family God has blessed us with. This afternoon, my eyes will bless me by watching some football. The other night, I witnessed with my eyes and the light in the room, the Chiefs won another game. It was beautiful. We are blessed with light. But here Jesus refers to the spiritual light. It's an allegorical statement Jesus makes, and making a point that those who know the light of Jesus are going to love it. And they're going to abandon darkness. So first, let's understand what the lack of light is. First point is what? Darkness. Darkness. You know, physical light is necessary for physical life. Ever correlated the two? Physical light is a must for physical life. How often is a baby born with what they call, I believe, jaundice? And what does that baby need? Light. Because what the light provides to him, the nutrients. Without light and only darkness, there will be no life. A forest full of trees with a very thick canopy of foliage has very little light below it on the ground because the light is blocked from that ground. Plants need light to live. Plants normally grow towards the light. If you've ever seen those plants or trees, they're in an angle. It's because they grow towards the light. A man without light and is only in darkness becomes depressed anxious, sick, and eventually will die. We also have a spiritual darkness. And this is a contrast to the person of Jesus Christ, who is light. Because without Jesus, light, we are in spiritual darkness. Those hidden from Jesus are spiritually dead, without light. In this very same book, John chapter 1 and verse 4 says this, referring to Jesus, the Word, says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The very verse that we read today in chapter 8, verse 12, tells us that light is life. See, darkness is the opposite of God's nature. Darkness brings death. Jesus brings life. See, for this reason, a man without Jesus is a man without life. Darkness throughout Scripture symbolizes a separation from God, a separation from life Himself. You with me? There I go again. Some of y'all have teased me about that, and that's okay. But a separation from God is what death truly is. God is so far-fetched from darkness. Do you realize in the book of Genesis, God never created darkness? God did not create darkness. Some of y'all are going to go back and check Genesis when you get home. I hope you do. Darkness was already there. All God did at creation is He separated light from darkness. You know why darkness was there? Darkness is there as a result of Satan being cast out of the glory of God, bringing darkness to the earth, darkness to the universe. Scripture never refers to God creating darkness or having darkness. He's just the light that overcomes darkness. That's how far God is from darkness. Darkness doesn't have a relationship with God. He is light. He is such a light that, remember, in eternity there will be no sun, moon, or stars. Nothing to give light except for who? God Himself and His glory will light up whatever's there, all of heaven. You won't need a sun. You won't have a light switch. There will be no night. There will be no darkness. And if the kids were up, I'd just remind them, oh, there's one. You won't have nap time. You won't go to bed at night. You could stay up all day. You with me? Isn't that cool? God, that's how far-fetched God is from darkness. He has no relationship to darkness. And am I beating that point to death? Yes. Understand, darkness is completely separate from God. God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all, Scripture tells us. Darkness is the opposite of the character of God. In His Word, God uses darkness or even night to represent evil. And being in darkness means that a man is dead, separated from God, separated from life. And if he doesn't resolve that by coming to the light, Jesus Christ, he will be dead for all eternity. Dead doesn't mean not having a conscience. Dead means separated from God. Understand, our souls were created for eternity. Your soul will be conscious for all eternity in one of two places, the Scripture tells us. Heaven, in the glory of God, through the work of Jesus, or hell by the fruits of your own labor and sinfulness. And He gives us this life on earth to make that choice on who you will submit to. Because of Jesus, we have light. So let's look at the second point, light. Light is much appreciated today. I talked about that a little bit. It's needed for life, for enjoyment. I really appreciate light when I'm walking behind pickup trucks and I can see that stinking trailer hitch that tries to cut my shin off. Anybody with me? Yeah? Anybody else got a permanent knot on your shin because of those trailer hitches? Okay. I appreciate light in moments like that. I appreciate light when I'm walking through, and not anymore, but when I was, I had younger kids, walking through the living room and there's a Lego on the floor. So as a pastor, I can't say some of those words. Because a Lego really tempts you to say stuff because out of the abundance of your heart, it's not just pastors, it's believers, right? So when you step on that Lego, let me just train yourself. Oh, Jesus loves me, this I know, yeah? That's why, yeah, that's in the Christian cuss word right there. I like a light that exposes the problem that could hurt me. And when that light is good for so many areas of our life, it keeps us safe. Light is encouraging psychologically. It enhances our mood. You're in a downer mood? Open your stinking blinds. Let that light shine in. It is encouraging. And I hate heat, so do it from an air-conditioned room because, you know what I'm saying? Light also improves our health. It provides and produces vitamin D for us, which the body needs. It produces other stuff too, but I ain't a doctor, and I'm going to pretend to. As Jesus chooses light as a picture of himself because it's a picture of his character. It's a picture of our need for him. He does not simply say that he improves life or even gives life. He, the light, is life. He tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not I have it, I am life. Without Jesus, there is no life. Just like at creation, where did life come from? Did God just kind of, whoop, I'm going to make life, boom. No, he created everything, but when he gave life, God, the triune God, Jesus Christ, was there as well. He doesn't just give life. What does he do when he created Adam? He breathed life. He gave of himself. He is life. And he offers and sustains life. He is the one that offers spiritual life. And he's the one that keeps your spiritual life alive. But only to those who believe. Only to those who place faith in him. Who are in him. See, Jesus is the spiritual light. Notice, again, he didn't say he was a light or that he had a light. Jesus says, I am the light. There's not another one. I am the light. Only through him can man have that eternal life. The problem with light is light can hurt too, can't it? A fun thing to do in the bus, taking sports teams home, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, and it's dark, and you've had a couple-hour drive home. We've had a couple of those this year. Is to suddenly turn all them lights on. You know what I hear? Oh, it's awesome. Because you remember what they've been doing to me all the way home? Those selfies with the flash. And I'm getting in the mirror. So I get them back by turning all the lights on at once. What happens? We don't like that. That light all of a sudden hurts when I've been in darkness a lot. Correlating this. When I've been in darkness and the light hurts, I don't like it. It does a couple things to me. It stuns me. Hurts my eyes. But what else does the light do? It exposes dust, doesn't it? Not in my house. Y'all's house, maybe. But exposes dust. If that light comes through the window, you see the dust just where it's laying. Again, it's because I visit other people's house, but not ours. And that sun, that light comes through the window, you even see the dust that's floating, don't you? You ever notice that? Light exposes what we don't want to see. It hurts. How does man feel about this? Well, quite honestly, we don't like that part of light, do we? Well, listen to what Jesus says in John 7:7. The world cannot hate you, but it hateth me. Because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. When the sinless one is held up against you and I, the light of this world is held up to you and I, his light will expose our sinfulness. Hmm. how they used to check the old pottery? Because the potters back in the Bible days, they schemed too. They cheated. If there was an imperfection, they'd take wax, a thick wax, and rub it in, and they could mold it where you couldn't see the wax. And guys that really knew what they were doing could take that pottery, and they would hold it up to the sun because it would what? Expose any imperfections. You can feel really good about yourself. You can pat yourself on the back, be happy with your works, be happy that you don't say bad words, you don't drink or smoke or date girls that do, yeah? They might chew, but you know. And then you line your life up that you think is so good to the life of a holy Savior. And you go, ugh, but I'm better than. I always go to Hitler because it makes me feel good about myself. I've never done that. And God says, I'm not judging you according to Hitler. I'm not judging you according to Craig. That'd be awfully high standard for me. God says, I'm going to judge you according to Jesus Christ. Oh, now what? Do you like that judgment? Do you like to be exposed like that? Man's response in John 3:19 says this, and this is the condemnation. Light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. With Jesus Christ, we can see our sinfulness, can't we? With me, guys? We can see our sinfulness, can't we? We can see our need for Jesus Christ. Do we like it? No. Why? Because we love our sins. We love our sinfulness. I love the way I live. I love the things that my flesh want to pursue. So what happens to man is they reject Jesus Christ because of it. And in that day, they rejected him so much, they said, crucify him, and they put him on a cross. What they didn't realize is that plan was by God, not by them. He thought of you. He said, I'm going to make a payment for you. I'm going to give the life of the one that I'm going to compare you to pay for your life. Wow. See, when a man sees the light of Jesus Christ and compares himself to the holiness of Jesus, if you'll listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you'll realize that you're in need of a Savior. Because I'm broken and I'm sinful. I need the holiness in a spiritual life that can only be given by one that is perfect. And what does Jesus say about that, him? Look at right there in our text today, in John chapter 8, right there in verse 12. About halfway through, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He shall not walk in darkness. What did Peter say? We're called out of darkness and placed where? In his marvelous light. Look what John is saying through the inspiration of God. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you'll notice this verse here, not only is it inspired by God, it's spoken by God. What color is it in your Bible? It's one of them red verses. That's the word of Jesus Christ. It says, if you're in Christ, if you follow him, you should not walk in darkness. So the third point, the last one, is the follower. If you're a child of God, I'm speaking to you and myself. Often we want to water down the meaning of scriptural believer. Why? Because I don't want to admit my kid is not saved. I don't want to admit my husband, my wife don't know Jesus, that they could go to hell. I don't want to admit that my neighbor, it just feels better. Everybody's a believer if they go to church or, you know, they said the prayer from a track. But according to Scripture, a believer is not just someone that claims the name of Jesus. According to Scripture, a believer is not someone that just said a little prayer. A believer is not someone that is faithful to church, and it's not someone that has knowledge of Scripture. Catch on here? In verse 12 there, we see Jesus referred to a believer as what? He that followeth me. Salvation comes by faith in the person of Jesus Christ. And that faith causes me to what? Turn around and follow him. There's no works to salvation. Jesus did all the work. But once you take on that salvation, he turns our life and he starts to use us for his glory. He says he saved us unto good works. And I start following Jesus and walking with Jesus. Why? I don't want the darkness no more. I'm going to follow the what? Light. Why, you ever heard of someone get lost in a tunnel somewhere? In a cave? And when there's a little bit of hope, what did they see? I have seen the light. Now, do you walk away from the light? Uh-uh. You go in that light. I've told you I've gone caving before. I love it. Had a boy take me out down there in the cave. We went, man, so far back in there, I don't know where we were. I was just hoping it didn't start getting hot, you know what I'm saying? We're going a little too deep. And then we got to that section, but the boy said, you might not need to go any further. I said, what do you mean? It's tight back here. Dude, get out of my way. What they don't know about big guys, we're pliable. We bend very easily. I got way back in there, but then to where he was, do you really know which way we're going? And you know what direction we went? We wanted to go where we were going to eventually see the light. We turned around and started going back. And the light is the best thing you can see when you think, uh-oh, this guy just got us lost. You see, when a believer placed faith in Jesus Christ, it's because they saw the light. They saw the hope. They saw the work was accomplished. They saw where they can be saved. And so they start walking the light. And as a believer, oh, I ain't going back there. That was lost. That's condemned. I'm following the light. And that's what Jesus says. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. We see Jesus here referring to that very thing for believers. They follow Jesus because they've accepted his light and have turned to him for salvation. And now they submit to his authority and his lordship. And those people will love the light of truth, and as a result, not walk in darkness. Why? What did the light do to him? Peter told us, remember we talked about that? The light called him out of darkness, out of death, and placed him in his marvelous light. If you are in Jesus, you do not want to give up his light, his life. You don't want to go back to the old ways of death and darkness. Just like most of us in this room do not want to give up our sight, our eyes, the ability to see and appreciate the light. We don't want to be in darkness. You wouldn't sell your eyes for $500, would you? You wouldn't sell your ability to see for $1 million. Why? Because you appreciate light and ability to see. Those who love the light of Jesus have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus, and we should not want to give that up for anything. You a believer? You hearing this? What have we been called to? Called to light. Because you're in Christ, because you're given life through Christ, listen to what he says in Colossians. Colossians 3:5 says, mortify therefore your members which are of the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil conspicuousness. Who comes up with these words? And covetousness, which is idolatry. It says mortify those worldly things of darkness. Kill those areas that don't reflect Christ, that don't bring you closer to him, that no longer represent him. They're no longer a part of you. And what do to things that die? You bury them. Because you don't need them no more. He says, mortify therefore the members which are upon the earth. More specifically, he continues in that same chapter, Colossians 3:8-9. But now ye also put off all these. Uh-oh. He's going to be specific. He's not even going to be deep. He's going to give us just some easy things to work on. He says, since you're a believer and you walk in the light, he says, but now you also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you put off your old man with his deeds. Don't act like the old man. He's saying the old man was in darkness. That man didn't have Christ, didn't have the light of Christ that gave him life. You and I are in Christ. We can celebrate the light. If you've called upon the name of Jesus and placed faith in him, you have called on him for salvation. And that's not where it ends. That's where it begins. Because now that you've seen the light, that's the direction you're going to. Remember, what way does a tree grow? Towards the light. You should grow towards light. My growth in Christ is no longer in darkness. I'm bending this way. I'm taking steps. Now, it's a slow growth. It's a slow growth. It's a painful growth sometimes. But I'm going towards the light. I'm following Jesus. And we can celebrate that God has showed us that he is the light. We can appreciate the light that saved us from more than just Legos. Saved us from more than just a trailer hitch. It saved us from damnation in hell, from eternal separation from God. We can walk in the light. We no longer should enjoy darkness. Our love for the light, that is Jesus Christ, should be seen in our lives. And through this time of darkness, the light shines the brightest in dark places. And the way you and I act, talk, speak, will tell them who we follow, who we love. And maybe it will show the light of Jesus Christ to one more person in darkness. And as soon as that pain is over on their eyes, they might respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's the goal of our life, isn't it? So I challenge you this month, as darkness is being celebrated, as darkness is being decorated, as darkness is going to act as entertainment, that you and I remember who we are. We follow the light of God. We follow Jesus Christ, the one who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen? Would you stand with me? We're going to close by singing a song you may have heard of before, and you might be surprised it's going to relate to light. You know the song, Stepping in the Light. Why? Because if Jesus Christ has called you into himself, he's called you into a life of light, a life of representing him, a life of enjoying a relationship with him. Let me tell you this, if you never had that time in your life, will you recognize your sinfulness, that you violated a holy God, you've never called upon the name of Jesus for salvation because of your faith in him? I'd love to show you how to be saved. Not because I know, but because the Word of God tells us. I'd love to show you how to let Jesus Christ forgive you of your sins and draw you into his marvelous. Sing this song together.